You have your Bible with you. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. You can put a finger there. And we'll get there within time. It would probably be somewhat enlightening if everybody could experience what all goes into a message, into a sermon, I guess is the way you call them around here more often than not. What triggers things to come to mind and directions to go, thoughts to present. Sometimes it may be just one seed. Sometimes it may be multiple seeds that develop into a Sunday morning or Sunday evening sermon. One of the seeds that, there's more than one on this particular one, but one of the seeds was a question that was posed. I think it was for my benefit. Wasn't necessarily posed directly to me, but it was posed for my benefit. Something to the effect of, when does deer hunting become too important? The one that raised the question is grinning pretty big this morning. Probably makes him feel good that he's been a contributor. Like I said, it was given not directly to me, but it was given so that I could hear. You know what that's like, don't you? You say something to somebody else, but you're hoping that somebody else hears it. That's sort of what was taking place, I think. And so I want to talk to us for a little bit this morning about what is important. What is important? It's the Sunday after Thanksgiving, Sunday after a big week, busy week. Some people felt that things were of such importance that they went shopping all night, Thursday night, Friday morning. If you've heard the news since then, you know that Black Friday was not only Black Friday in the shopping sense, but it was also black because of the ominous clouds of shoppers and the reactions of shoppers, you know, pepper spray to get their way through the crowd or to find the product that they wanted, or holdups as people carried their packages out of the store, feeling pretty ecstatic about their prizes that they had been awarded, only to have somebody hold a gun to them and demand their packages. The story about the pepper spray, though, just intrigues me that they were so caught up in the importance of the product. What were they going to save? A few dollars and loss of sleep. Of course, loss of sleep was probably what triggered the sprayer, not the finger itself. All kinds of things take place based on what our values are, what we think is very important. Thanksgiving time is important to us. We spend a lot of time, really, for this one day. There's at least four words that make up the importance of Thanksgiving to most people. You might be able to work in a fifth word. All of them begin with the letter F. Somebody help me out here. Words that begin with the letter F that focuses on Thanksgiving in your life. Family. Somebody said family. Food. You can't get together without food. Friends. There's three. And squeeze all of those together, it would be fellowship. What's another one? Fun. I wasn't thinking of that one. There's one more, though, that I'm thinking about. Faith. I wasn't thinking about that one either. Football. I grew up playing football Thanksgiving Day. Part of the time, if we were at my Uncle Jim's house, it was Penn State football. Joe Pa. Pennsylvania, just big time. Joe Paterno in football with Penn State. Saw a headline, was it yesterday, that they got blown out of the water. Not that it concerns me. I don't really care. I just saw the headline. They were badly whooped. Football in the backyard. You can't. Well, I know we do now. I think my kids may remember when they were little, football always seemed to be brought out at Aunt Sherry's house. Now it's other games that are played indoors. But family, friends, and food seem to be the three things that make up our Thanksgiving celebration. Then we get done talking, after we get done eating the food, then we start talking about the food. Can't eat anymore, so we discuss it. Talk about its ill effects to our health. Maybe its blessings to our health. And how the natural occurrences have taken place that you eat that big turkey dinner and then somewhere in the afternoon it just feels like it's time to take a nap. And they claim that there's reasons for that because of some ingredient that's in turkey, and then you mix it with all the sweets that go together, and it just makes us tired and want to take a nap. Family and friends. The food part of it would be nothing if it wasn't for the family and friends, though. Looking at this congregation, it's easy to understand that family is a big role in many of our lives. We just can't function without family. I wasn't with any of my immediate family, but I sent an email to all of them. Said I'm thankful for a good family, Christian heritage. You see, we can count on friends and family and food. We can talk about the fellowship that's involved there. And even football, we can say that, you know, God blesses us with these things. It's fun to get together and play football. At least it used to be. It's not so much fun anymore. But all of them are good and right in their proper place. But how important are any of these things to us in our lives? How important is any one thing? And when does something become too important? 1924, Paris Olympics. Not sure how to pronounce Eric's last name. I think it's Little. Eric Little won the gold medal in the 400-meter race and the bronze in the 200-meter race. He was quite an athlete. Such an athlete that there's been at least one book written about him and one film produced of his life. Whether you agree with everything about Eric's life or not, that's not what I'm here to talk about or what I'm bringing him into the subject for. But one of the things that Eric said about his career as a runner, he said, I sense God's pleasure. Speaking of God, he said, I sense His pleasure when I run. 1924 was a long time ago. I wasn't around then, so I don't have a whole lot to say of that year, but things were different then than what they are now. But apparently one of the things that wasn't different then, as it's the same now as it was then, is that there's peer pressure, and Eric faced an enormous amount of pressure from his teammates as well as his countrymen, and also his closest fans, because he refused to run a particular race at the Olympics on Sunday. I believe it was at the Olympics. We would kind of laugh at that in 2011, but in 1924, see, things were different then, and so some people held to the idea that Sunday was the Lord's day, it was God's day, and it wasn't a day to be doing other things on, and he apparently was one that felt that way, but his countrymen and his teammates and his closest fans didn't agree with him and put an enormous amount of pressure on him to go ahead and run that race. Someone handed him a note. You see, Eric was trying to show what is important to him, but it was getting to him. And someone handed him a note that said, "The good book says God honors those who honor him." And from the story that I read, it turned him even stronger to hold fast to his conviction not to run that race on Sunday. It helped him to keep his thoughts on what God viewed as important. Some of you may have listened to the story focused on the Family Radio Theater of Father Gilbert. One of the stories begins with him in the pulpit preaching on a Sunday about a particular verse in Matthew 6. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And then it breaks away in that story and goes off into the story about what is valued and what is held very dear. And apparently, as the story unfolds, there was a chalice that was valued by somebody, and come to find out it was valued by more than one person. And in their search for that chalice, there was somebody else that they went to interview to find out if they knew anything about it and where it could be hidden, where it could be located. And he had nothing but contempt for that chalice, because as he recalled, the surroundings of that chalice in his life brought back memories that were hard for him to live with, hard for him to deal with, and the suffering that came to him because of the thought that was brought back of that chalice, and he had nothing but contempt for it. But as these people searched and they came upon a hidden vault, in the story it talks about a hidden vault, and in that vault there was a container, and they thought for sure that this valued chalice was in that container, only to open it up and find documents and pictures and things that they held in contempt. But when they went back to the man that held the chalice in contempt, he found it valuable because it was memories and articles and photos of his parents that were killed when he was a child. You see, there was one thing that one person held valuable and another person held in contempt, and then those same people reversed their roles when they found something else. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus does have something to say about our value system, what we hold valuable. And in this chapter, there are three simple things, three basic things that Jesus gives as basic virtues of the life of a disciple. The first one that we find in chapter 6 is sincerity. You can find it at the first 18 verses, Jesus speaking about sincerity in almsgiving. sincerity in prayer and sincerity in fasting. Being sincere about the things that are done supposedly for God's glory and for God's intent and purposes, to be sincere in what is done. The final part of the chapter, we see that there is a singleness that is expressed. A simplicity that is expressed. Verses 25 to 34, a simplicity in trust. Jesus draws a parallel between birds and lilies and grass and compares it to our life and how God provides for the lilies and God provides for the grass and He provides for the birds. And Jesus is simply saying that if we would just trust in God, what is it that Jesus said in the sum of all of that simple trust? What is it? He said, take no thought. Now that's hard for us to deal with. We want to take thought about tomorrow. Take no thought, He said. But He does give us something to take thought about in the previous verse, the next to the last verse. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these other things will be added, will be provided. Doesn't mean that it's going to be given to us on a silver platter. We still have to go about daily life. We still have to take care of daily business. But not so much that they become the focal point or the most important things in our lives. He starts off with sincerity. He concludes with simplicity. And in between the two, He has just a golden nugget tucked in there of singleness. Verses 19 to 24. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You see the singleness that is written there in three different aspects. Verse number 24, there's a singleness of master. You cannot serve two masters. Either you will hold to the one and hate the other, or vice versa. You see, He's talking about treasure. He's talking about the singleness of our treasure. Just before you see the singleness of master, you see the singleness of the eye. We may not understand that in our culture today. We may not understand the context there as such. But one thing that you and I can draw to understand what He means by the singleness of the eye . Don't know who I can pick on this morning. Perhaps I should not pick on anybody in particular. But there's not too many of us guys here this morning, married or with girlfriends, either one, who want our wife or girlfriend's eye to be wandering around. Or you ladies, your guy, your men. You see, in our relationships, we want to have and we want to receive the singleness of the eye. We want their eye to be focused. We don't want to have multiples. You see, that's part of our culture. may not be part of the culture that America is in now or the world is in now, but it's part of our culture that we still hold to that and thank God for it. That's God's pattern. And that's exactly what Jesus is referring to here, not having a multiplicity of our eye focusing in various directions, but have a singleness of eye where we are focused solely on God. His purpose, His plan, a singleness of purpose, and a purity of intent, or a purity of intention. That's the singleness that He's speaking about, of the singleness of the eye. But the first part of this section, He's speaking about the singleness of treasure. There's two things that He speaks about here, moth and rust. Both of them have an idea about them that eat. Moths, at least certain ones, will eat through your clothes. That's why they have moth balls. Used to be more prominent than what they are now, I suppose. Of course, nowadays some people use moth balls in their gas tank. But moth balls were used to in containers to store certain clothes, so that moths wouldn't eat them. Rust, we know what rust is. We don't like to think about knowing what rust is. We'd prefer not to experience rust when it comes especially to our automobiles. But there's something about rust. It eats away, doesn't it? It's amazing how hidden rust can be, but once it makes its presence visible, it seems just to go crazy. It just eats away. Those are the two things that Jesus uses as a comparison to our treasures here on earth. The things that we hold dear, it doesn't matter what it is. It could very well be deer hunting, because it all will vanish away. No, a moth isn't going to eat deer hunting up, and rust isn't going to eat deer hunting up, but they are going to decay. There is nothing to remain from deer hunting in the life that is yet to come. There is no value eternally in deer hunting as it would stand in our mind. But lay not up for yourselves treasures on this earth. Don't be so focused that these things are the things that are holding us and gripping us and are making their way into our lives, so that we prioritize them higher than we do the things of God. Break through and steal, Jesus said. We may have a better understanding of what Jesus meant when He said break through and steal when we remind ourselves that the walls of the Palestinian homes were made of mud. They may have been kiln-dried bricks made of mud, but they were still mud. And it was easy for someone to dig their way through in order to steal something from within. And it's gone. Whatever it was that woman wanted at Walmart where she used the pepper spray, it'll be gone. If she even got it. I don't know. I don't know if I heard if she did or not. But it'll be gone. Was it 20 people injured in that incident? Just because one person thought this thing was important in her life that she had to have. Was it just a couple of years ago, I stood in line for one of those KitchenAid mixers my wife thought she had to have? Oh yes, I'll include myself. It was something that we wanted. I was willing to, I stood in line. Only to get it home, and it was one of those kind that the bowl went up and down and the head didn't raise. And I thought, that sounds to me like a problem in the making. It's not going to be something of interest down the road very far. But I stood in line. Black Friday. Or whenever it was. I guess it was Black Friday. You see, it wears out. The value of it goes way down. It doesn't matter what it is. We lose values because they are temporal. Spiritual, eternal values increase. Thanksgiving wasn't meant for just one day. You've heard that statement before, perhaps you've said it. But if there's anything else about Thanksgiving that is good besides family, friends, food, and football, it is that Thanksgiving should bring us into a focus of what is most important to us. And for us to realize, as we focus on those things that are most important to us, where our treasure truly is. For Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. What is important? What is important? Laying up treasure in heaven is what Jesus said. Would you stand with me this morning? As we come into the Christmas holidays, Thanksgiving is behind us.